we'll be teaching on. Some of the things I was scared I'd get myself out on a limb, maybe make some people angry about, even though in my heart I believe that there's truth. Thing about people is, every one of us, we have a philosophy, a way we think about things. And sometimes mine is way out there on left field. I know I've talked to my pastor about it many a time. And y'all know how I can be too. So just want you to know, we decided to give up teaching on this thing of a philosophy and false science and also you know, if you get over the Bible says you make void the word of God through your traditions, and so that's where I was at, and I was looking at some things that I've been studying about traditions and where, you know, when our pastor first come here, he made that statement, why do we do what we do? Why do we think what we think? And I was looking at some of those things and looking back on the history of some of it, and some of it just after a while just started making me a little upset, because I don't feel like nobody, you know, is willing to change, even though the Word of God would say we need to make a change. And so I think I was getting frustrated in my thinking, but not towards the class nor towards our church, but just towards generally the church as a whole is so have adopted so many of these traditions. They're so steeped into our churches that it's like where Jesus said that the enemy have done this. He sowed tares among the weeds, and if you ain't careful, you try to get the tares out, you'll hurt the wheat. So I said I'm going to quit going there. But I am. We are continuing in warfare, and we're going to be looking for a while on the battle for the heart, for the mind, and for the soul. And we're going to be looking at that through the Bible, and I'm going to tell you what, I need your prayers. You get in there, you start reading. Get you a concordance or on your computer or however you want to do it. And you start looking up these things. You look up every word where it says heart. You look up everywhere where it says mind. You look up everywhere where it says soul. You know what you're going to find out? They all respond in a lot the same way. It's hard to tell the difference between one from the other many times. You see? And you do it. You read and you study, and I think you'll start seeing that. Because the more I study, I told preachers one, I said, it's going to take me a while to get through this because it's a little bit confusing. And the thing is, we're one body, and we're intertwined. You know what I'm saying? It's like trying to separate your finger from your hand. You know what I'm saying? Huh? It's part of your hand, is it not? Yeah, but, you know, this part of my hand don't do what this part is, but it's all got to, you mash that finger and the whole hand hurts, you know what I'm saying? And that's the way these seem to be in the Bible. And we'll take our Bibles. We're going to begin in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And we're going to see some of this first starting out. When they come and they're tempted, this warfare against the mind, against the heart, and against the soul. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Now, right there, he's getting her to think, right? He's attacking her mind. And he warreth against, the Bible said he warreth against the mind. He said, right here, he says, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And she's thinking, she said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it. And then she messed up. She added to the word of God, God never said this, He just said they weren't to eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, it would have been wise, if you're not going to eat it, not to touch it, no doubt. I mean, that just, you know, common sense would tell you that. But it was enough of a niche for the devil to get her trying and doubting what God has said. I could almost see him, you know, I know this is Dave Leslie, but I can almost see him in my mind's eye, him just rubbing all up against that fruit. You know what I'm saying? See there? You won't die. I'm touching it. Yeah? I'm touching it. It ain't bothering me. See, God just don't want you. And then he goes on. You should not, neither shall you die. And the serpent said unto her again. I can see him right now. You see, you shall not surely die. Maybe them poured some of it off, shining it up, holding it up to her. Mmm, licking his lips. Boy, don't this looks good, don't it? Huh? For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, something has happened. It's went from her mind, and now it's moving into, notice this, what he says. For God doth know, you shall not surely die, but God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And now she's starting to feel something. She's feeling like God's trying to keep something from us. Which is opening up a desire, you see. The seat of your desires. You know, which is your heart. And now these words have moved from her mind. They're down in her heart and she's desiring. She's desiring. She's desiring. What is she desiring? She's desiring to have that which she felt like God's keeping back from her, and that she may be like God. The day you eat there, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, I mean, boy, you know, all this in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, all these are coming in to play here. Her flesh is desiring it, you know, and boy, and the desire, what happens when you mind the desires of the flesh? It defiles the heart. And now the heart is being defiled. And the way the enemy has done is he showed her something that looks very attractive. He got her doubting what God has told her and got her desiring, and her pride has entered into her now. You know what I'm saying? That pride of Satan. She wants to be more than what she is. So pride has entered in, and pride goeth before what? Yeah. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It was desire to be make one wise. I mean, her heart said, I'll be wise. You know? I desire to be wise. So she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. It's like that old saying, Eve eats out of house and home. Next thing you know, they're not only has their mind been corrupted by these false words of the devil, their hearts have been defiled, and their soul has made a choice. You know? Their soul has made a choice. They chose to disobey God. And they fell in the sin. And the devil has seen no reason over the years to do any other way. It just works over and over again. We're so thick. You know, if it worked, it works. You know what I mean? If it works, don't, you know, don't fix it, right?
Amen.
Huh? Amen. And the devil has used that same method over and over and over again. And man is so thick, he falls for the same thing over and over and over again. Look in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10. We're going to look at a fellow by the name of Saul. These are just kind of some incidents that has happened that we can examples that just kind of kicking this off, and looking at how this has happened in other people's lives. And Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter 10. Samuel has always been a character in the Bible that I just can't figure it out. I ain't gonna tell you I'm figuring out him. I'm just gonna show you what happened with him and his fall, the way his heart and mind and soul failed. Look here in Samuel chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. We know the story how Samuel, he was out looking for, you know, his father's, you know, donkeys, and he couldn't find them. So he went, they decided to go see the seer, which was Samuel, and he had a little gift to give Samuel, and Samuel told him, said, well, you just tarry here by me for a little bit. And then in the morals, I'll show you, you know, what God has said. And it said, and as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, did the servant pass on before us? And he passed on. But stand thou still a while I may show thee the word of God. Then Samuel took a vial of oil, poured it upon his head, and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? And when thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorrowth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God, to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee, and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive with their hands. And after that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery, and a tabret, and a pipe, and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. And that's something God did something for him there. He not only did something for him, he did something to him. He changed him. He was small in his own eyes. He didn't feel like, I mean, hey, he couldn't even find the donkeys, you know what I'm saying? He went out to do a little job, he couldn't even find the donkeys. And now here's this man that took come along, the seer, poured oil on his head and told him and said, hey man, he said, God has chosen you to be captain over his host, over his inheritance. I've just anointed you to be king over Israel. Now, I don't know how that, what was in his mind, but how would that have affected you? Think about it. And then it says, in God, and it says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with him, and shall be turned into another man. You're not going to be the same as you were. You're going to be different. And let it be, when these signs are coming to thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee, and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. He gave him another heart. Well, before that, his heart, he was small in his own eyes. He in no way felt like he could possibly lead the nation of Israel. He was small in his own eyes. I can't do this. I can't do this job. But now God, through the Spirit of God, has given him a new heart. He gave him a new heart. It was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all these signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him. He prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, what is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. And Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, whither went ye? And he said, to seek the asses. And when he saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. And Saul said unto his uncle, he told us plainly that the asses were found, but of the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spake, he told him not. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. But you have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And you have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than all the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen. Now, I've heard many people preach that Samuel was chosen of the people. Show that to me. They rejected God and they wanted a man. And this is the man that God picked for them. But God chose him. Or this Bible's not true. And Samuel said unto the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. And Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom. And he wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah. And there went with him, notice this, a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Again, God had given Saul a new heart. God had touched the hearts of men to go follow this man that God had chosen and had touched. Then Naash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Naash, make a covenant with us and we will serve thee. Naash the Ammonite answered him, on this condition will I make a covenant with thee, that I may thrust out all of your right eyes and lay it up for a reproach upon all Israel. Wow. Lord, we won't fight you and we won't kill you if we can punch your eyeball out. That's a pretty good deal, wouldn't you say? I'm gonna gouge your eyeball out. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite that we may send messengers in all the coast of Israel. And then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers of Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? They told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh, and the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and when he heard these tidings, his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces, sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. Boy, yeah, he done got a new heart. It wasn't no time ago. He was hiding. He was down there in the stuff. He didn't want them dragging him out there and making him king, being responsible for all these people. He was hiding. I don't want to do this. But now look at him. God has put on him a new heart. He's strengthened his heart to do his work. And now the Spirit of the Lord has come upon him and he's filled with anger against anybody that would come out against God's people. His heart's right now. Boy, I mean, he comes out swinging, don't he? Yeah, right. They think they're going to get, hey, don't worry, I'm coming. Saul, I said, and he took it after he'd hewed on a piece, whosoever come on forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done. And his oxen and the fear of the Lord fell on the people. And they came out with one consent. And when he had numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, the men of Judah 30,000. And they came unto the messengers that came, thus shall you say unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow by this time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. And the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and you shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. And it was so on the morrow, and Saul put the people in three companies. They came into the midst of the host in the morning, watch, and slew the Ammonites unto the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. And the people said unto Samuel, who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring them in that we may put them to death. Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day. For today, notice what he says, the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Hearts, right. Then said Samuel to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal. And renew the people there, and all the people went to Gilgal. There they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoice greatly. Now, right now, he's got a new heart. God gave him a new heart. He's given him a heart to that says, I'm not that small with the Lord's help. I can do whatever God wants me to do. Something happens, doesn't it? Something happens to it. You ever notice, you ever notice this happens sometimes amongst people? They start to do well. They start to, do well. Maybe they get involved in church. And maybe they start getting active. And it seems like the Lord is really using them. You know what I'm saying? Then all of a sudden, you couldn't buy a ticket to see them. They just, something happened. There's something about this old heart. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't trust your own heart. And I'm going somewhere with this, and just think. Now God had given him a new heart. A heart, not so much a perfect heart. Not so much a heart that said, my heart is towards God continually. A heart that is totally given to God. But a heart that said, I can do what God wants me to do, and I'll do it now. He's got confidence, in other words. God's given him a confident heart to be able to do the job. The same way when old Solomon prayed and said, Lord, give me wisdom that I might rule over this, your people. Amen? Did that great wisdom keep him from falling?
No.
There's something, whether it be wisdom, whether it be strength, whether it be courage, whatever it is, it doesn't make no difference. You can take and it can be being used of God, but if you ain't careful, that heart can trip you up and deceive you. How many preachers we've seen over the years who started off well and stumbled along the way? Where did it start? What was it that was corrupted? What happened in the garden? Your mind gets thinking on things, and next thing you know, the heart starts getting all puffed up. Maybe start thinking more of yourself than y'all. Keep on reading, though. Samuel's, well, there's not a whole lot here about Saul. He didn't last long, did he? He did some great things. He served God, was doing some great things. And Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened to your voice and all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. Now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord. And before his anointed, whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I restore it you. They said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, your fathers cried unto the Lord, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them, and they cried unto the Lord, and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord, have served Baalim and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Zerubbabel, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwell safe. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. How would you like to have to be king after they done defrauded God as king?
Be rough.
Yeah, it'd be rough, wouldn't
it? Be rough, rough.
Man. Now therefore, behold, the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired, behold, the Lord has set a king over you. That's what they've chosen, a king. They didn't choose this person. That ain't what that says. They chose a king. They wanted a king over God. And God then chose the man that would be king. And that is, of course, Saul. And if you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice, that's a big word. That's probably the biggest word in the Bible right there. If. You know, the whole time God's telling him this, he knows what they're going to do.
Amen.
You remember when they came out of Egypt, he told them, he said, you cannot serve the Lord thy God, for he is a jealous God. And he said, and you will serve other gods, and you're going to do this, and this is what's going to happen to you. He told them that plainly. They said, nay, we will serve the Lord. I wonder if they'd have just simply said, then God, what hope have we? What if they'd have just said, God, I'm sure you know what's right. I'm sure you know our frailty. I'm sure you know we're going to mess up. Here God is saying, if. He already knows what Saul's going to do. I mean, you think God all of a sudden was surprised about what Saul did? Is God omniscient? Is he? Is God omnipresent?
Amen.
I mean, does he have foreknowledge in all things? If. They cried to the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Baalim and Ashtaroth. And now deliver us out of the hand of your enemies. And the Lord said, sent Zerubbabel and Dedan and all of them. And we saw Nahash king of the children of Ammon came against you. You said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom you have chosen, whom you have desired, there's their heart. And behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. And if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord shall do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? And I will call unto the Lord. He shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great. And when you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants. As the Lord thy God, that we die not. We have added unto all our sins this evil, and to ask us a king. Samuel said to the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Turn you not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. I forgot to take up offering, so I'm going to go ahead and pass it right now. Just in our only missions. Sorry about that. Let's see if I can read the right one. Now, we see that the people here, their heart was toward a king and it left God. We see that Saul, I don't know, he might have been part of that number who wanted a king. I don't know, he could have been. He could have been crying out with the rest of them. You know, we need a king. You know, that's what we need. We need a king. You know, I don't know. I can't tell you what God thought, Saul thought, what Saul did. All I can tell you is what the Bible has told us about him. First off, he was small in his own eyes. He was head and shoulders above the people, but I mean, he couldn't even find the donkeys. He couldn't. I mean, he just couldn't. This job was so far above him. He knew that he couldn't do it. He was small in his own eyes. But God gave him a new heart, which said, hey, you can do it. Yeah, I'm going to give you a heart that you might be able to do it. And I am going to make a new man, another man out of you. Even though you've once been small, now I'm going to give you some confidence. I'm going to give you some courage. I'm going to give you some desire, you know, to serve this people as king. It started out pretty well. We give God the glory. But we're going to see, not today, but we're going to look into it. We're going to see how his heart turned on him. How his heart was turned from following God to follow his own will, his own desires. Now, you say, what has that got to do with us? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I know we're saved, and I know we're kept by God, the Holy Spirit. But what did he say about this people? He said, I will not forsake you.
Amen.
Right? Even though they had forsook him. Had they not? He said, yet I don't be too troubled. I will not forsake you. And I'm going to tell you something. He'll never forsake us. He saved us, and he gave us of his Spirit. Now, he had the Spirit upon him. He could have all the Spirit that he wanted. You know? But the Spirit would come, the Spirit would go. But when you get out there and get to thinking, I can about, you know, it's just like you come up and you slap somebody on the back and said, brother, you did a real good job on that, teaching that or whatever for you. You did a really good job teaching that lesson, or you did a really good job on that sermon today, or you really did a really good job, you know, in whatever service you've done, whether it be, you know, building a house or whatever it is, whatever kind of work you've done. And boy, people get to slap you on the back and, you know, and everything. And if you ain't careful, you'll start to believe it. If you're not careful, that heart, boy, desire that praise. But who deserves all the praise? I build cabinetry. You know, my Bible still says, without me, you can do nothing.
Amen. Amen.
I can sit there and I can get lifted up and think, boy, I'm something, somebody. And that's exactly what begins to happen with Saul. And he begins to say, well, I think I'm doing a pretty good job on this thing of my own, you know. And we're going to see in the next chapter or so that how, well, You know, Samuel was a little bit late getting up here, and the people were starting to leave. I got to do something about this. Who was he trusting? He was trusting the fact that these people had been following him, and then a lot of them were beginning to forsake him.
Yeah.
And so he says, I got to do something. I got to do something. And then what's in his heart starts coming out. All that's in his heart. His pride. I mean, boy, I tell you what. You take a person, hey, you get them, and you get them where they have lost integrity or whatever, and the only thing they'll have left is pride. You beat people down. You know what I'm saying? Where they have no esteem, no feeling like, if they don't feel like they're worth anything, I'm going to tell you one thing will show up. Pride.
Amen.
That pride within you says, well, I don't deserve this. And boy, it'll want to rise up in us. And buddy, and here we see a man who has, God had chosen, put this place, given a new heart, he went out and did a good job for God, but now it ain't hardly no time has passed. God gives him a command, and believe me, it was no surprise with God that he wasn't going to fully do what he told him. He knew he was. The same way that he's going to take in a little bit, and he's going to offer a sacrifice. God had made him king. God had made him a prophet. But he didn't give him no priesthood. And in this Bible, you're only going to find one that's both prophet, priest, and king. Amen? God, he's done got the kingdom from God, right? God had given him his kingdom. And he had made him, give him a new heart. And he has prophesied, but now he's willing to take on it all. He's going to take over. He's going to take Samuel's job. He's going to be priest too. And believe me, if God hadn't have did something, that heart couldn't have tell him what would have happened. How far he could have went down. We see him towards the end of his life when God had done rejecting from being king, had those evil spirits, and now he's went down and sought after witches. Well, if he ain't going God's way, he's going to go his own way. You're going to make yourself God. And it won't be long. It won't be long. I don't care. I don't care how good a job you've done before. That's why we must keep ourselves humble. Realize what we are and realize who he is. See, so after a while, he ain't asking God's opinion no more. He's not seeking after Samuel's opinion anymore. He's starting to be boss. We'll look at that next week. Brother Jim, will you pray for us?